Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. And in our final segment here, we usually jump to prophecy or the Bible. And that's exactly what we're going to do in my research, because I'm writing a book on the millennium question. And I think I'm going to be ready next week to share. I think I will have it. I'm still working on it, though. Is my exposition of the chapter 20 itself. I'm going to have to update my exposition on the entire Revelation with a new chapter 20 because of that, but that's easy enough to do, to do a revision. But anyway, so you want to come back next week, and I'm going to do the whole chapter 20. If I can squeeze it in, maybe I'll open the broadcast with it to make sure I get it all in. But anyway, the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy, I think I've heard this referred to before, but I've really never looked into it. And I really was looking for someone who more agreed with my method of interpretation, and I found that everything they say here I agree with. As far as finding errors in it, I found a few punctuation errors, and that's about all. And I only found one place where it would actually add a little bit to it. But beyond that, I don't think it needs to be changed at all, because there's even people talking about updating it. No, when you get something right, you get it right. But anyway, so this is the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy, and this is the preface here. The authority of Scripture is a key issue for the Christian Church in this and every age. Those who profess faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are called to show the reality of their discipleship by humbly and faithfully obeying God's written word. To stray from Scripture in faith or conduct is disloyalty to our Master. Recognition of the total truth and trustworthiness of Holy Scripture is essential to a full grasp and adequate confession of its authority. The following statement affirms this inerrancy of Scripture afresh, making clearer understanding of it and warning against its denial. We are persuaded that to deny it is to set aside the witness of Jesus Christ and of the Holy Spirit, and to refuse that submission to the claims of God's own word, which marks true Christian faith. We see it as our timely duty to make this affirmation in the face of current lapses from the truth of inerrancy among our fellow Christians and misunderstandings of this doctrine in the world at large. This statement consists of three parts: a summary statement, articles of affirmation and denial, and an accompanying exposition. It has been prepared in the course of a three-day consultation in Chicago. Those who have signed the summary statement and the articles wish to affirm their own conviction as to the inerrancy of Scripture and to encourage and challenge one another and all Christians to growing appreciation and understanding of this doctrine. We acknowledge the limitations of a document prepared in a brief intensive conference and do not propose that this statement be given creedal weight. Yet we rejoice in the deepening of our own convictions through our discussions together, and we pray that the statement we have signed may be used to the glory of our God toward a new reformation of the Church in its faith, life, and mission. We offer this statement in a spirit not of contention, but of humility and love, which we purpose by God's grace to maintain in any future dialogue arising out of what we have said. We gladly acknowledge that many who deny the inerrancy of Scripture do not display the consequences of this denial in the rest of their belief and behavior. And we are conscious that we who confess this doctrine often deny it in life by failing to bring our thoughts and our deeds our traditions and habits into true subjection to the divine word. We invite response to the statement from any who see reason to amend its affirmations about Scripture by the light of Scripture itself, under whose infallible authority we stand as we speak. We claim no personal infallibility for the witness we bear, and for any help which enables us to strengthen this testimony to God's word, we shall be grateful. The Draft Committee. A short statement. 1. God, who is himself truth, speaks truth only, has inspired Holy Scripture in order thereby to reveal himself to lost mankind through Jesus Christ as Creator and Lord, Redeemer and Judge. Holy Scripture is God's witness to himself. 2. Holy Scripture, being God's own word, written by men, prepared and superintended by his Spirit, is of infallible divine authority in all matters upon which it touches. It is to be believed as God's instruction in all that it affirms, obeyed as God's command in all that it requires, embraced as God's pledge in all that it promises. 3. The Holy Spirit, Scripture's divine author, both authenticates it to us by his inward witness and opens our minds to understand its meaning. 4. Being wholly and verbally God-given, Scripture is without error or fault in all its teaching, no less in what it states about God's acts in creation, about the events of world history, and about its own literary origins under God, than in its witness to God's saving grace in individual lives. 5. The authority of Scripture is inescapably impaired if this total divine inerrancy is in any way limited or disregarded, or made relative to a view of truth contrary to the Bible's own. And such lapses bring serious loss to both the individual and the church. Articles of Affirmation and Denial. Article 1. We affirm that the Holy Scriptures are to be received as the authoritative Word of God. We deny that the Scriptures receive their authority from the church, tradition, or any other human source. Article 2. We affirm that the Scriptures are the supreme written norm by which God binds the conscience, and that the authority of the church is subordinate to that of Scriptures. We deny that church creeds, councils, or declarations have authority greater than or equal to the authority of the Bible. Article 3. We affirm that the written word in its entirety is revelation given by God. We deny that the Bible is merely a witness to revelation, or only becomes revelation in encounter, or depends upon the responses of men for its validity. Article 4. We affirm that God, who made mankind in his image, has used language as a means of revelation. We deny that human language is so limited by our creatureliness that it is rendered inadequate as a vehicle for divine revelation. We further deny that the corruption of the human culture and language through sin has thwarted God's work of inspiration. Article 5. We affirm that God's revelation within the Holy Scriptures was progressive. We deny that later revelation, which may fulfill earlier revelation, ever corrects or contradicts it. We further deny that any normative revelation has been given since the completion of the New Testament writings. In other words, there's no new books being added to the Bible. Amen. Article 6. We affirm that the whole Scripture, and all of its parts, down to the very words of the original, were given by divine inspiration. We deny that the inspiration of Scripture can rightly be affirmed of the whole without the parts, or of some parts, but not the whole. Article 7. We affirm that inspiration was the work which God, by His Spirit, through human writers, gave us His Word. The origin of Scripture is divine. The mode of divine inspiration remains largely a mystery to us. We deny that inspiration can be reduced to human insight or to heightened states of consciousness of any kind. Article 8. We affirm that God, in His work of inspiration, utilized the distinctive personalities and literary styles of the writers whom He had chosen and prepared. We deny that God, in causing these writers to use the very words that He chose, overrode their personalities. Article 9. We affirm that inspiration, though not conferring omniscience, guaranteed true and trustworthy utterance on all matters of which the biblical authors were moved to speak and write. We deny that the finitude or fallenness of these writers, by necessity or otherwise, introduced distortion or falsehood into God's Word. Article 10. We affirm that inspiration, strictly speaking, applies only to the autographic text of Scripture, which in the providence of God can be ascertained from available manuscripts with greater accuracy. We further affirm that copies and translations of Scripture are the Word of God to the extent that they faithfully represent the original. Yes. I've thought on that many times myself. We deny that any essential element of the Christian faith is affected by the absence of the autographs. We further deny that this absence renders the assertion of biblical inerrancy invalid or irrelevant. Article 11. We affirm that Scripture, having being given by divine inspiration, is fallible, so that, far from misleading us, it is true and reliable in all the matters it addresses. We deny that it is possible for the Bible to be at the same time infallible and errant in its assertions. Infallibility and inerrancy must be distinguished but not separated. Article 12. We affirm that Scripture in its entirety is inerrant, being free from all falsehood, fraud, or deceit. We deny that biblical infallibility and inerrancy are limited to spiritual, religious, or redemptive themes, exclusive of assertions in the fields of history and science. We further deny that scientific hypotheses about earth history may properly be used to overturn the teaching of the Scripture on creation and the flood. Article 13. We affirm the propriety of using inerrancy as a theological term with reference to the complete truthfulness of Scripture. We deny that it is proper to elevate Scripture according to standards of truth and error that are alien to its usage or purpose. We further deny that inerrancy is negated by biblical phenomena such as lack of modern technical precision, irregularities of grammar or spelling, observational descriptions of nature, the reporting of falsehoods, the use of hyperbole and round numbers, the topical arrangement of material, variant selections of material in parallel accounts, or the use of free citations. Article 14. We affirm the unity and internal consistency of the Scripture. We deny that alleged errors and discrepancies that have not yet been resolved vitiate the truth claims of the Bible. Article 15. We affirm that the doctrine of inerrancy is grounded in the teaching of the Bible about inspiration. We deny that Jesus' teaching about Scripture may be dismissed by appeals to accommodation or to any natural limitation of his humanity. Article 16. We affirm that the doctrine of inerrancy has been integral to the Church's faith throughout history. We deny that inerrancy is a doctrine invented by scholastic Protestantism, or is a reactionary position postulated in response to negative higher criticism. Article 17. We affirm that the Holy Spirit bears witness to the Scriptures, assuring believers of the truthfulness of God's written word. We deny that this witness of the Holy Spirit operates in isolation from or against Scripture. Article 18. We affirm that the text of Scripture is to be interpreted by grammatical historical exegesis, taking account of its literary forms and devices, and that Scripture is to interpret Scripture. We deny the legitimacy of any treatment of the text or quest for sources lying beyond it that leads to relativizing, dehistoricizing, or discounting its teaching, or rejecting its claims to authorship. Article 19. We affirm that a confession of the full authority, infallibility, and inerrancy of Scripture is vital to a sound understanding of the whole of the Christian faith. We further affirm that such confession should lead to increasing conformity to the image of Christ. We deny that such confession is necessary for salvation. However, we further deny that inerrancy can be rejected without grave consequences, both to the individual and to the church. So there you have 19 articles with many more affirmations, some of them containing several affirmations and denials. Now we come to the exposition, which I think I'll save the exposition for after the break, though. Why is this important? It's for the same reason that I spend so much time studying the millennium and other, especially doing prophecy once a week and writing. Seems like I can't get away from prophecy. You know, I was almost was begging the Lord to let me write something else other than prophecy. And what do I end up writing? I'm writing a book right now on the millennium called The Millennium Question. And just take a moment here to thank all of you, all the listeners out there, firstamendmentradio.net, all of those that are subscribed to my broadcast and my website. Thank you for that. Thank you for your support and your prayers. I hope and I believe that they are well placed, because I know what God is doing in my life through the work that He has called me to do. I want to thank you all for your prayers and for the support, and especially for the few people that have faithfully given to us for 20 years, and some of you for less years than that, but you continue to give faithfully because God has called you to give faithfully to the ministries that he has led you to, and First Amendment Radio being one of those. And those of you that are already supporting other ministries in obedience to God's call for you to support the kingdom work in the world, keep giving where God has called you to give. But pray for me if you're being blessed, and pray for First Amendment Radio and all the work that goes on behind the scenes here. Thank you if you could add us to your prayers, especially if you're being blessed by them. Even if you cannot give more, your prayers are much needed. Pray especially for me and my spiritual life behind the scenes, and my adherence to God and His Word in my life continually, whether I'm being watched or not being watched. We all need that kind of accountability in our lives. And some of us don't have any accountability, but we can be accountable to the Holy Spirit, and especially if we can pray for each other. And I pray for all of you, whoever listens, and I don't know who you are, so I can't name you specifically. And when your donations come in, I pray for you and your household, of everyone that donates. And God knows who you are, and I give thanks to God for you as I ask Him to bless you and your households. So thank you very much. We're going to continue this on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. Be back in a few minutes.